Terror on Every Side, The Life of Jeremiah, Volume 6, That Broken Reed. Written by Mark Morgan, read by Chris Morgan. Chapter 1, Leaving. March 585 BC.
Off to Egypt today, Jeremiah, said Baruch with a crooked smile as we met outside the inn.
It was just after dawn on a fine morning in early spring, less than a day since the remnants of Judah had rejected God's command and decided to escape to Egypt. We stood in the same place where I had confronted the crowd the day before and told them that God's answer to their question, the answer they had promised to abide by, was that they should stay in Judah. Egypt, 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 had been the response, and Baruch and I were going along whether we liked it or not. That evening, Johanan had made it clear that if we cooperated we could go along in relative freedom, but if we resisted, we would suffer. To make sure that we understood, we were forced to collect our belongings and were taken to separate dormitories in the inn where his men could keep a watchful eye on us. In that crowded room, I began writing my prophet's diary. Finally, after several hours, I was told to stop and lay down to sleep under the watchful eye of some of his men. We were given no opportunity to escape. I returned Baruch's smile with a wry smile of my own and sighed. Neither of us knew quite what to expect. Once again, life was uncertain, and we knew that some of our countrymen would be very happy to find any excuse to make us suffer. Yes, off to Egypt, the very journey God told our fathers we would never need to make again once he led them out of there.
"Oh, you prophets," said Johanan, who had come out of the inn in time to hear my words, "you keep harping on things. Just let it go. The decision is made."
We could still change our minds. Even now, we could have a time of prayer and thought. We could—
"Shut up, you old fool," said Johanan in an angry voice.
For a moment I thought he was about to strike me, but he took a deep breath and continued with a little more control.
"Oh, I suppose that I shouldn't speak to a prophet, a priest, like that, but you just won't accept when you're beaten. Everyone has agreed. We're not talking about it any more. So just leave it. Do you understand?"
"Yahweh is the one you are abusing, Johanan. I'm just a prophet. He has told you what to do, and—" Johanan held up his hands.
"Stop," he commanded. "Not another word from you, or you'll be coming along with us tied up and with a bag over your head."
I closed my mouth. Almost everyone got up early that day, but that didn't mean they were ready to leave. Men and women hurried to and fro, shouting, often at each other. Children played with the goods already packed for transport, sometimes carrying them away or leaving them mixed up with other stacks of goods. Noise was the overwhelming result, but there was also an underlying feeling of urgency. With the passing of winter, the survivors' dread of Nebuchadnezzar and his army had returned in full force. What if the Chaldeans had heard about the assassination of Gedaliah and the soldiers? A detachment of soldiers might already be bearing down on them from the north, approaching from Jerusalem as the sun climbed above the horizon. Few oxen, and even fewer asses, were available to pull the limited number of carts that had survived the Chaldean invasion. Most of the refugees would have to walk all the way to Egypt, just as their relatives and friends had recently walked to Babylon. I stood near the inn and listened to the words of the would-be refugees. Some spoke only of the things they needed to take with them to Egypt, while others reflected on the past or the future.
"It will be good to get away from this cursed place," said one man to his companion.
"Yes, a curse has been on it ever since our fathers came here. If only they had never left Egypt."
I couldn't help myself. "Are you serious?" I interrupted. "Our fathers were slaves in Egypt. We've had hundreds of years of freedom in this land, although it hasn't always been as good as it would have been if only we'd obeyed God's commands." They looked at me in that here-he-goes-again way that 40 years of delivering God's messages has forced me to get used to.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?